KBPS on PRP, student radio for the city of Portland. Joe Anderson here, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Join me as we hear from students across the Portland Public School District, powered by AM 1450 KBPS Portland. For 100 years, KBPS has been the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station. This is KBPS on PRP.
Good morning, KBPS on PRP listeners. There is a big event happening tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, March 12th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at the studios of Portland Radio Project, and you are invited. It's the 10th anniversary open house of Portland Radio Project right here at the PRP studios, 3121 South Moody Avenue in Portland. If you listen to PRP and you want to be a part of PRP, here is your opportunity. Let me tell you what we're looking for. We need live DJs to spin tunes here on PRP. Any genre, show us what you've got. We need some social media mavens to help take PRP to the next level and help us go viral. We need tech lovers to make our FM signal and online stream shine 24/7. And media team members to get out to shows, sporting your PRP t-shirts, and capturing the fun live. Or what about our podcast brainiacs out there? Do you have a podcast? Do you got something to say and the chops to back it up? Or if you just love music and you know of emerging and indie artists from Portland and around the world that we can feature on PRP airwaves, the Portland Radio Project 10th anniversary special public open house event happening tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, March 12th, 1 to 5 p.m. We'll have treats from Lionheart Kombucha and Honey Mamas, and you can also chat with the current PRP team. Learn more about how you can become part of the Portland Radio Project community listening experience happening tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, March 12th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Portland Radio Project Studios, 3121 South Moody Avenue, Portland, Oregon, or you can find more information on the website prp.fm. Hope to see you there.
Hello, KBPS. This is Travis, and today I have Jacob Patterson with me today. Hey, Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Travis. Great to talk with you, buddy. Hope all is well on your end.
I'm doing okay as well. So I've heard that very soon we are going to celebrate our 100th anniversary broadcast. How do you feel about that?
It's time to party like it's 1923. That's right. In fact, March 23, 1923 was the day that this radio station was first licensed to broadcast. And holy moly, 100 years. It's not every day you turn 100 years old. And to have been a former student of the program this program helped launch me into my career, and now to come back as the instructor of the program, I'm speechless. My job as a communicator is to come up with the right words at the right times, and I'm still speechless when I think about the significance of this, the gravity of this, all of the generations that have come before us to get us to where we are today. And now the torch is in my hands to carry it on into the next 100 years. And I'm so excited. We got a huge party planned. We got a big broadcast planned. A lot of local media are coming out and talking with us. We're doing interviews with TV stations. We got Willamette Week right here, right now, doing some interviews and photos for us. So it's kind of a big deal.
Thank you for listening. That was actually really interesting. About like just KBPS and celebrating its 100th year anniversary, what was like one of your favorite memories and why was it your favorite of like all time?
Oh my gosh, that's so hard. For me, there's a couple of highlights. I am part of the very first ever SkillsUSA National Gold Medal winning team from KBPS. In 2006, we competed in the SkillsUSA competition, which is like an academic competition. Think of it as like school Olympics. So the radio students make radio productions. The construction people have a construction competition. The automotive students have an automotive competition. And students get to compete in their fields. And then if you win in the state competition, you get to go on to the national competition. That's what we did in radio, and we were part of the first KBPS gold medal winning team, and that was so cool. It's historic. Of course, you know, some of my high school days have faded out in my memory, but some of the things that I can still recall, I remember having a great time in class and having fun on the air with my on-air partner. And we would try to make, when we would do our live newscast at the top of the hour or bottom of the hour, whoever was reading the newscast, the other person would make funny faces and try to make your partner laugh or crack up in the middle of the news story. And a couple of times we got each other to crack, and I can remember just having fun and doing silly little high school things, but still learning, you know, important life skills about communication that have helped me throughout my entire life. One of the things that just I remember on Summer Sound, on the Summer Sound crew of 2006, we were at the old Benson, which was right across the street from that Franz Bakery. And we got word that Franz Bakery was getting ready to break a Guinness World Record, the world's longest hot dog. They literally built a bun that was like over 100 feet long, and they had a hot dog trucked in that was continuous, unbroken. And we did a live report on Summer Sound on KBPS from the scene of the story, world's longest hot dog. Some of those things are the things that I can remember and stand out to me. But I mean, it's been amazing. It's been a heck of a ride.
Yeah, that's incredible. Thinking about it, like, so many people are breaking so many Guinness World Records, like, everywhere in the world. But also, just staying on track of, like, just the KBPS, like, broadcast center, what would you do if there was, like, no KBPS, like, no radio station, like, suddenly it just stopped, dropped dead, and nothing was said about it?
I think I still would have been doing some sort of music-related or audio production-related hobbies. Before KBPS, I was still involved in this world pretty well. I remember fondly my grandfather teaching me how to put tapes over the corners of cassettes so I could record over a cassette. And I got a little cassette boombox one year for Christmas, and I would go and record my favorite songs off the radio. So I had a copy of my favorite songs, and I would make my own mixtapes, and I would pretend to be radio DJ when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. You know, those stereotypical radio DJ stories. It's the truth. And I can remember some of my earliest memories, hanging out with my grandpa, who is no longer... died many years ago, but when he was around, he had a CB radio in his pickup truck, and he would talk around town with people on CB. Hey, breaker, breaker out there, 10-4, good buddy, I need a radio check, call her on back, yeah. And I remember jumping in the truck with Grandpa and talking on the CB radio and pushing a button and talking into this little weird device thing, and somebody on the other side of the city can hear me and talk back to me, and that was magical to me. That was like, whoa, that blew my mind. And that was when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, somewhere around there. So if there was no KBPS, the truth is I would have majored in automotive in high school. I just got, you know, I was getting my first car. I wanted to learn how my car worked. I almost became an automotive major anyway. And so I probably still would play around with my own personal audio recordings, and I probably would have been an automotive major.
Thank you, Jacob, so much. I have one more question. Even as KBPS, you are a teacher / running like a radio station. Is that like difficult for you? Is it like, honestly, like, I feel like that would be a lot of work, like grading like homework, making sure you have the right assignments, and then making sure like the radio station doesn't have dead air. I feel like you're doing like two things at once. How do you do it? And do you feel like it's a difficulty for you to be a teacher?
Travis, is a great question. And you want me to be 100% honest with you. It's very challenging. Being a teacher is one of the most difficult jobs I've ever had. But thanks to a career in commercial radio, thanks to KBPS, I'm well prepared. As a commercial radio producer, as a news editor for one of the biggest radio stations in town, I would get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I would have a good grip on all the breaking news by 2 o'clock. We were on at the radio station by 3, on the air at 5, and at home and in bed by noon. And constantly multitasking, not just, you know, covering the news, reporting on the news, producing the news, running the radio station, and you wear a bunch of different hats all at once. You're constantly multitasking. And that kind of preparation was really good for being a teacher, because that's exactly what I do as a teacher. I'm teaching students. I'm recording interviews. I'm producing audio. I'm running a station. I'm making sure that everybody push their chairs in. I am trying to maintain some of the equipment when students come in and they push the wrong button, and I got to fix all those kinds of things. I'm helping run the Bats Club. I'm doing sports casting. And I'm running the bowling thing. And we just got back from a historic first ever in school history, girls at the state bowling championship, epic, unforgettable weekend. The truth is it's tough. It's hard. I've got to take really good care of myself. I got to eat well. I've got to sleep well. I have to tell, you know, my buddies when they call me up, hey, let's go out and party tonight, man. I said, sorry, I've got to work. I've got work. I've got to do. I have to say no to some things that I would really love to go do, but I've got to put my job first a lot of time. And my job really as a teacher and as a broadcaster is it's a performance, right? And so as a performer, sometimes I kind of put on a show. Like, what you see on the surface might not necessarily be what's going on the inside. I am exhausted. I'm dead tired. I am drinking a cup of coffee at 2:30 in the afternoon trying to maintain my performance. And on the inside, I'm dying tired, but I don't let that show because I've got a job to do. So, the truth is we do the best we can. You take good care of yourself, eat well, sleep well. And sometimes I have to say no to that Friday night party that I really want to go to.
Well, Jacob, that sounds like that's just a lot of things that you do as just like a teacher and a radio broadcaster. I swear you need to get paid more as a teacher, because you're doing extra work. Like, you're doing so many things on top of the things you do, and sometimes you're not even getting paid for it, which I feel like you're getting cheated out of your own job. That's just my personal experience. I'm not trying to say anything else, but so...
Well, I, Travis, real quick, I appreciate that, but what I would say is you have to go above and beyond. You have got to make yourself indispensable. If you can make yourself indispensable, what that means is that you do so much that the boss can't do it without you. Once you get to the point where they rely on you and they need you, I mean, they need me to do all the audio here at the school for all the assemblies. They need me to do bats. They need me to do sports casting. And now if something were to happen, and which is actually happening next year, Portland Public Schools is coming up about $40 or $50 million short. There's a budget shortfall. There's going to be some teacher layoffs. And I am doing everything I can to make sure that I'm not going to be one of the people laid off, because I love my job. I want to keep my job. And the way that I do that is I go and I do all of these things. I don't just do the bare minimum. Doing the bare minimum is not enough. You've aim for that A. You've got to aim for that A. Don't aim for a C and land on an F. Aim for the A and land on a B. And if you become an A student and eventually an A employee, they can't do the job without you. And at that point, you have job security. And then you can confidently go to work every day knowing that, no, there's no one that's going to take my job because they couldn't do it without me.
Wow. That was just a lot to take in. Jacob?
It's like drinking off of a fire hydrant. It's coming at you fast. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Jacob?
Which I don't recommend, by the way. That would probably blow your face off.
Jacob, just one bonus question for you. If you had a quote to tell everybody who's listening onto the radio right now, what would it be?
The best advice anyone ever gave me, they said, if there's something out there that you want, go get it.
Like rush, like go for it, like hustle and stuff?
Yeah. If there's something out there that you want, go get it. It's as simple as that. If you want to become a superstar, you can do it. If you want to become the president of the United States, you can do it. If you want to be the next radio broadcaster, you can do it. If you want to be the next Phil Knight, you can do it. But you've got to put in the work. Don't do the bare minimum. Go above and beyond. Do what's asked. Do what's expected. And then do extra. And then when you're so tired you can't do anymore, you do more. And you keep going. And then pretty soon you're dialed in and your work ethic is unmatched and you become the next whatever you want to be. If there's something out there you want, go get it.
Well, thank you, Jacob, for letting me interview you about this upcoming 100th anniversary, which I'm super excited for. I've never thought I would be in something so important that has been almost like 10 times as old as me, thinking about, I would never be, when I was first trying to do this class, I never thought radio broadcast would be my kind of thing. When I first ever went to school, I was like, oh, maybe I could like do computer programming, and I thought that was my thing. No, radio is my thing. I love talking. I realize how much I can do things in radio that I'd never thought I'd ever do. So thank you for interviewing, Jacob.
Well, and Travis, you are already on your way to being one of those superstars. You come to class every day. You're going to the great attendance celebration because you have great attendance. You're part of BATS. You're part of the bowling team. You're an A student in the radio broadcasting program. You are doing it, man, and just keep doing it and keep doing more and more and more and more. And real quick, for all of our KBPS family listening, there's information about the 100th anniversary on our website, kbps.am. We're doing an in-person event on March 18th for KBPS people only. We're doing a live broadcast on KBPS on the actual anniversary date on March 23rd. Tune in. Don't miss it. And then a big public open house event where everyone is welcome, the community, our listeners, our family, our friends, everybody. That is during Tech Show in April 20th and 21st, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Marshall Campus, Southeast Portland. Hope to see you there, team.
All right. Thank you.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hi there, I'm Joseph Brandon here with the KBPS student staff, here to tell you about an important issue. The Delta Park Walmart and the Eastport Plaza Walmart will be shutting down on March 24th. The reason this is an issue is that the neighborhood around will not be able to have local groceries and will instead have to go farther than they have to, as well as over 500 employees losing their jobs. The Eastport Plaza is near the Marshall Campus, and it will affect the student life because students will not be able to have access to food during lunch, or at least not as much food options for lunch. It also affect the neighborhood surrounding the Walmart and the school, making them having to travel farther to go get groceries. This will be a very bad issue, and hopefully a new company will move into the Walmart location. The reason why the Walmarts are shutting down is due to theft and just economy. they've been losing a lot of money, not only from like people not buying, but from people stealing. This has been a long-going issue, and now they've decided to shut the store down altogether. I hope our community can recover from this, and that is about it. I'm Joseph Fernandez for the KBSUSF, signing off.
Hello, this is Redding, and I'm here with...
Kayvon.
Owen.
And for our PRP, we are going to be talking about the OSAA boys basketball playoffs. First, we'll start with you, Kayvon, and what happened last night for the Benson Techmen.
Benson Techmen, we came in 21 seed. Southridge came in as a 12 seed, and we went to their house and we upset them 58 to 52. It was a great game. At one point in the third, we were down like 7 or 9, and Dylan Duong Patron started heating up. He hit a couple threes and got us right back into the game. And from there, we just finished it off.
He was seriously on Dame time in the third quarter there.
All right. Owen, so were you at that game by any chance?
Yeah, I was.
So what were your thoughts on that game then?
You know, it had me nervous for a while there, but that makes a good game, you know, when you're nervous. But it was certainly a good game. It was worth a 30-minute drive. I came out, and I was ready to just see a blowout one way or the other, and, you know, I got a very interesting game.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Unfortunately, I can't play, but from what I saw, it was a great team win and a great effort from Benson. Moving on to the rest of the playoffs, there was only one other upset, I think, other than our game, which would be Nelson beating number 8 South Medford. That's crazy. That just kind of shows how good and bad leagues can be for some teams.
Personally, I think South Medford really exposed their league is not the greatest. And when you're beating teams 113-70 and, you know, people like Bodie are getting, you know, 53 points, it just really shows how bad their league really is. And they got exposed by a Nelson team that is not the greatest team, to say the least.
And then there was one other close upset, which was Roosevelt against Tualatin, 30-3. Obviously, Roosevelt's not a 30th team in the state. They had to forfeit some games due to a coaching issue, but still an incredible almost upset from that team. So, what are your thoughts on that, Kayvon and Owen?
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that I heard that Roosevelt was up 15 or 17 points at one point. And, you know, when you get up that much, you just got to, you know, take your time, hold the ball, and try to get a good shot every time down. And they didn't do that. And, you know, Tualatin being the great team that they are, you know, they took advantage of their mistakes and came back and won the game by 6.
Owen, you got any thoughts?
I think Kayvon put it best. You know, I don't think I can really add on much to that.
All right. Moving on, Benson will now take on Gresham in the second round of the playoffs, they're the 5th seed, and we are the 21st seed, so it's a pretty big game. What do you think Benson needs to do to pull out a win against Gresham, Kayvon?
They have really good guards, in particular Isaiah Pippa-White, but I think if we just shut him down and give him a hard time, you know, make the other people, you know, contribute a lot, then we should be in good position to win that game.
Yep. Owen, you got anything? Anything in particular you like about this matchup?
I think Benson's is going to need to have excellent teamwork, and everyone's got to play on their A game. And, you know, I believe that Benson can definitely get a win here against Gresham.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with both you guys on that. A big part about winning this game would be the next round, which you would go up against a league opponent no matter what, in Lincoln or Cleveland. Both great teams, Lincoln first in the PIL this year and Cleveland second. So that will be a good matchup, first of all. But I guess for us, Kayvon, what would you want to see coming out of these next games on Saturday?
I really don't know, because Cleveland, you know, I feel like Cleveland, we match up better with Cleveland, but like Lincoln, we always play Lincoln so much better.
Yeah.
So it's really like, honestly, I wouldn't be too upset with either of them winning, but mm-hmm. if I had to pick one, I'd probably say Cleveland just because we can match up with their size a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like if we just clean some stuff up, you know, learn how to rebound, box out, you know, get a good shot every time down, then we should beat them no problem.
Mm-hmm. I could agree with that. So, Owen, I know you've been to both games where we played Cleveland and Lincoln, I think, yeah?
Correct.
So, what you've seen in both those two games, who do you think we could match up better against, or what are your thoughts on who you would want to play?
Right, yeah. I feel like maybe Lincoln. I think you guys would match up better against Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Just from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, fair enough. We definitely have kept those games closer than the Cleveland, or compared to the second Cleveland game. We kept the games closer.
For sure.
And for those who don't know, we did lose the first game on a buzzer beater to Cleveland, the half-court shot, which is, oof. That's
a tragedy.
That is lucky, very lucky. And then the rest of the tournament, you just got Westland up in their A bracket up there, who shouldn't have a problem with Jesuit or Central Catholic, who I would assume would come out of that bracket. Right, Kayvon?
Yeah, I don't really see anyone giving Westland in trouble. Maybe Central Catholic. They're a pretty solid defensive team. But yet and still, Adrian Mosley and Jackson Shellstead, they're two great players, and I don't think Central Catholic has enough to really counter that.
Yeah. And then in the C bracket, there's Tiger, Tualatin, West Salem, and Beaverton. And for those, I personally, I would say Tualatin probably will come out of that as well. Maybe Beaverton could put up a good match or good fight against Tualatin. I don't know much about. I haven't seen much of Beaverton this year, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I watched them play Jesuit like a couple of days ago. I think it was a Saturday or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But Beaverton, they're a solid team. You know, they take their time. Like
yeah.
That shot clock next year is really going to change how they play the game, because they take mm-hmm. their time. They take like 40 seconds to a minute, you know, until they get, you know, a good layup or wide open three-pointer or something like that. And I'm going to call it. I think West Salem might upset them. I'm going to call it.
Okay. I like it.
I'm going to take that risk. I'm going to call it. I think West Salem's going to upset.
I could see that. West Salem's, they got some bigs over there. A huge guy, and this guy named Trent.
Yeah, it's my guy.
Probably like 6'6", 250 or something. The dude's big.
Like 6'8".
Yeah, 6'8", 250 maybe, yeah. And then lastly, you got the D bracket, which I think, they're without a doubt, Barlow's coming out of that. Maybe Mountainside could pull off an upset against him, but I think Barlow's a great team. And I think they're honestly, for them being ranked two, though, I honestly think people still underestimate them a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. You don't hear many people talking about them a lot, and
yeah.
you know, they're the second seed, like mm-hmm. they're a good team,
yeah, 100%.
Solid team, but you know, that Mount Hood conference isn't the greatest conference, so maybe that's why, you know, people don't really respect their number two ranking.
Yeah, 100%. I could see that. Owen, anything else you would like to add on?
No, I think I really touched on all my points, so I'm gonna leave it at that.
All right, so that will do it for today's PRP. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been Redding, Owen, and Kayvon.
It is the first round of the playoffs. It's fall basketball, and Liberty High School in the house to take on the Benson Texters. And we've got some special surprises coming up in the game. And here to tell us a little bit more about it, our cheerleaders, our senior cheerleaders on the cheer team, Aviana and Aaliyah. How we doing, team?
Good. Yeah, we're doing good.
So first of all, tell us about why is today important? What's going on today?
It's our senior night,
and it's the first round of playoffs, so it's a big game for everyone, I guess. Yeah.
Now, when we talked with you last on KBPS on PRP on the Saturday morning show, we found out that you're the only two seniors on the whole cheer team, right?
Yeah, we are.
So what are you two doing? What secret surprise do you have up your sleeve for senior night tonight?
We're doing our own cheer, but yeah, that's about it.
our like send off. Like,
yeah.
So tell me more about this. Is this something that you came up with?
We all kind of came up with it as a team, but it's like just us mainly doing it. And they're just kind of like standing there supporting us.
Yeah.
So you two are going to be like out in the middle of the court by yourself in front of the whole crowd doing your thing?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, Jacob.
now, I mean, that takes courage to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. Shy.
Yeah.
Well, can you give us a sneak peek preview? Can you let our listeners in a peek behind the curtain to see what the surprise is going to be?
No,
I guess you have to tune in and see.
No, okay. Well, then, so then this is going to happen at halftime?
Yeah.
Okay. So make sure
you're at the game.
And that's how we tease our listeners, right? We got a secret surprise, but no, we're not going to tell you what it is. You've got to either tune in live to KBPS
or watch it.
Or yeah, come down to Marshall campus and watch it.
Yeah.
Okay. And is this, so are you doing any more cheerleading games after this? Are you, if Benson keeps winning and goes further in the playoffs, do you get to do more cheerleading?
Yeah. We're going to be with both teams for as far as they
make it into playoffs.
Oh yeah. So we got girls tonight, boys tomorrow.
Yeah. We're going to be at Southridge
every day of the week
tomorrow.
Almost.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can tell you, I'm really good friends with a parent of one of the players on Southridge. He's a former colleague of mine. He's the morning anchor on a big radio station in town, and his son plays on Southridge. And we were kind of texting back and forth and kind of coming up with a friendly, a wager, if you will. But I'm going to try to make it out to – KBPS is not planning on broadcasting the Southridge-Benson boys game, but I'm planning to try to make it out there if I can. If I can, I'll come out and say, hey, woohoo, I'll give you a big cheer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want our listeners to know about the game, about your last senior moment of epicness?
I just say come support.
Yeah, support Benson basketball.
Aviana, Leah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicky Winters, one of the students for KBPS that's producing content for PRP. I've been doing interviews with teachers and staff from around Benson. To really get a feel for what makes the school special, my latest interview, which you're about to hear, took place with Mr. Huntington, an English teacher here at the school. I'll let him take the story from here.
So right now I teach three sections of sophomores in the Communication and Design Academy, and then I teach two sections of juniors.
Oh, that's great. You know, you mentioned the Communications and Design Academy. Let's just jump right into that.
Yeah.
What is that? What does it mean to you? Kind of, what do you think of it?
Yeah, it's so the Communication Design Academy is really the kind of the next evolution of what it means to have a CTE school. And so, like, you know, for 100 years, Benson has done such a fantastic job of, you know, teaching the career and technical education side of things. And the education side of, like, the academic side of things has been like next to the CTE, and that was the secret to our success. Is like kids came to Benson to like learn these amazing like work skills, and then they also went to English and they did a great job there too, and that has worked great for 100 years. But the problem is that the secret's out, and every other school is offering the exact same thing. And so about 5 or 6 years ago, we started asking, like, what's next? Like, what's going to be, like, you know, how do we bring career training into sort of the next century, really? And what we realized is that rather than having academics and career training right next to each other, but not really touching each other, right, not really connecting with each other, what we realized is that we really needed to start mingling the two topics. You know, so like my English class, we needed to learn the things of English, you know, the literary analysis, the reading and the writing, and the critical thinking and the discussion. But we needed to do it in the context of careers. And so the process has been so exciting, super hard, super challenging, because like I can say it in one sentence. Oh yeah, you just take academics and you mix it into the CTE like a salad or something like that.
Right.
But in actuality, it is an incredibly complex process. One that has been professionally like really gratifying for me, because it's like brought my English class out of sort of like a little hole and into a wider context that is Benson High School, and it's awesome.
So you're part of the Communications and Design mm-hmm. Academy of mm-hmm. the academies. Mm-hmm. What classes does that interact with?
Yeah, so we interact with computer science, with radio, a class called Design of Mass Media, which really studies sort of how mass media works and how it functions and sort of where it comes from, and then DMP, the digital media production. And so in a lot of ways, it's like as a writing teacher, it is a dream come true, because all of those disciplines are like megaphones to writing, and they all start with writing. And so like I can write something in my class and have it just amplified through the power of images and through the power of the recorded word and through the power of web design and through the power of just sort of disseminating mass messages. And it's such an exciting so exciting, because like you have to think about like what it was like to be an English teacher before linking this, and it's like somebody writes something beautiful and the only people who get to read it are me and that student and maybe that student's mom if they have that kind of relationship, you know, and that's it. And it's just such a waste, because now I can have these beautiful pieces of writing that catch such a wider audience. So that's what I'm connected with.
That's great. You're obviously very passionate about English.
I am.
Writing and stuff.
I realize I am.
So how did you get into that? How did you become an English teacher?
Oh, somewhere on a hard drive in a box underneath another box somewhere is an admissions essay that I wrote to graduate school. What I thought was English, being an English teacher, is completely different than what I've discovered it is. So like I thought it was just about reading these like great and important works, you know, these novels that were like are so beautifully crafted and like hold these important messages. And I thought it was like me out in front of a bunch of kids being like, listen to this beautiful novel, and like, you know, like being like a little baby professor. And that, I mean, no shade to teachers who love that, because like that, there is a role for that. But that's not what excites me about being an English teacher. For me, it's like, it's less about like reading these things that are quote unquote important, because like those important novels, they'll be fine. People will keep reading those. But for me, it's like having a class where kids can practice speaking and thinking in powerful ways. And so that's really like over, you know, I've been a teacher for, this is my 13th year. I don't know. I'm starting to lose track. 14th year, somewhere in there. Yeah, I'm in my 13th year actually. And every year I get more and more sort of focused on like, it's not about what I deliver to students. It's what they deliver back. It's what they're doing. It's the writing that they produce that's really powerful. And so, that's sort of been like, you know, I started for the wrong reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And every year I've gotten closer and closer to what I think are the right reasons. Yeah. Also, man, I started later, my first year of being a teacher was when I was 29. And so there was about 5 or 6 years in there where I was like trying to do something different. And it was just, I worked at a book publisher's. And I love books, and I love this people publish them, but my goodness, it was so boring. It was, because actually working at a book publisher, you just sit on a spreadsheet all day. And it was, I was dying. I could feel myself dying at that job. And so I came back to teaching, because it's kind of where the magic is, the classroom is. Yeah.
So 13 years you've been teaching. How much of that was here at Benson?
Yeah, we're sneaking up on the halfway point. I started in middle school at Ockley Green Middle School up in North Portland. And then I switched, is this 5 years ago? No. year, Sylvie's? I have to base it, the year that I started at Benson, my son was born, and he's four. So that must have been 4 years ago. Yeah.
That's cool. Were you...
No, we're in our fifth year. Never mind. Keep going.
Were you at Oakley when it merged with Chief Joe?
I was, yeah. Yeah, I was part of those wild and wacky years.
What was that like for a teacher?
It was, you know, it was, what did they say? It was like one heart, two hands, I think they used to say about OG, CJOG, they started calling it. And it was, in principle, I think it probably could have worked. And I understood the reasons why they wanted to do it. But cynically, I don't think that they had the patience to have made it work. And they kind of threw us together in a building, and with one administrator and totally different cultures and different family communities. And it just needed time for folks to like kind of learn to trust each other and learn to expect and to like learn to like see the humanity in the other side. It was very tribal, you know.
Really?
It was like, oh, you're a CJOG, you're a CJ kid, well, I'm an OG kid, and it's like, oh my goodness, it was like ridiculous. And so it was a weird experiment for 2 to 3 years, and they pulled the plug before it. Like, who knows? It could have been amazing, but we never found out because we were on to our new transition. Yeah. Right. Now, in my years, I taught at Oakley for 8 years, and we had 9 administrators, and I must have seen 100 colleagues come and go, and the transition in those years was just crazy to just see the change every year. And kids noticed, like they looked around, they were like, are you sticking around, you know. And it was heartbreaking to see like the you know, we heckle young people for having short attention spans nowadays, but like administratively we had the shortest attention span for what Oakley could have been, and we just never stuck with anything, and instead we just changed and changed and changed. Yeah,
right. Yeah, so have you seen them? Because I know a couple students that were there at that time.
Yeah.
Have you seen them here?
I know. Yes, they are thriving here. A lot of them are. It's like, and they were great kids at Oakley, but like, I mean, the thing that teaching middle school you learn is that like nobody is having their best years in middle school. It is just like on any given day in a classroom, in a middle school class, in a seventh grade classroom, somebody is having the worst day of their life. And that is just like the space. And it was really fun to see these kids who were like, maybe they were struggling, maybe they hadn't found their feet, and they came to Benson and they were just like, suddenly they were running. And it was really exciting to see that. Yeah, and my hunch is that was happening everywhere, and it wasn't partially was about Benson, but partially was about just like getting out of those tough middle school years. Mm-hmm. But I just got to see the kids thriving at Benson.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was so great. I lost track of what my questions were. So we went through. You started teaching. You changed the way. So, what has your teaching career looked like before Benson, before Oakley? Like, have you?
Oh yeah, yeah. So I had my 3 years of sitting at a silent spreadsheet, slowly dying. Mm-hmm. And then before that, I worked at the community cycling center, and I ran an after-school bike mechanics program for elementary school kids. Here in Portland.
All that's here in Portland. Are you Portland born and raised?
No. Well, I was born in Oregon, but I'm really from Seattle. Oh. Yeah, that's where I really grew up. And so I moved here after college and, you know, got that sweet nonprofit job that one does when you're looking for your first job. And I taught one other place. I taught English living in France right after college. And then after that year, I moved to Portland and ran this like bike club, and that was like it was wild. It was like all of these friends that I'm still friends with today were working at that bike shop, and like it just was like this incredible. You know, I showed up. I didn't know anything about Portland. I'd actually from being from the Northwest, I'd never actually visited Portland ever. Oh. So my first time being in the city was getting off at the train when I was moving here. And so I didn't know anything. I didn't know where North Portland was. I didn't know, you know, anything about anything. And so I got that job. And it sort of was like my entree into Portland. But the teaching part of it was like super hard. I thought yeah, I know how to teach. I've been a student all my life. But like that part was, it just was like running that club. It was actually way more challenging than I thought. And so I was like, oh, I guess maybe I can't be a teacher. So I tried this spreadsheet job and I was like, nope, can't do that. So I went back to, teaching and haven't looked back since. It was fantastic. So it was something about getting actually trained that I think was the key for me. Whereas like just showing up and being like, yeah, I can do this, no problem, was a death sentence. It was too hard. Yeah.
So you've been at Benson the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Sounds like longer than you were at Oakley.
Sneaking up on it, but not quite. I was at Oakley for 8 and here for 5. If I'm doing my math right, which I might not be.
What do you think? Are you going to make it to 8?
Heck yeah. Yeah. You know, we're going to have to like, I mean, I'm petitioning the Principal Wilson to like set aside a little burial plot for me in the new site, so I can just sort of teach my way into the grave and just sort of have an eternal rest somewhere in the commons. Now I don't see myself doing anything different. You have to understand that like once you realize what's possible in the classroom, it's like this space. You know, I'm looking around right now, and it's just like it is. It's not a lot of other professions sort of like think about they prepare ideas or objects or images or things, and they put it all together and they make a perfect job and then they shoot it off into the world. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome, but it's like once it's like gone from your hands, it's like you have to move on to the next thing. And for me, I look at it like I get to hold down a part of the world. You know, it's a classroom. It's got 4 walls, and kids come and go, and I get to see, you know, 150 kids a year, hopefully, but lately it's been more. And it means that, like, that little corner of the world is, like, I get to, you know, I don't get to, you know, I don't change the laws of physics in that space. There are some things, there are times when forces in the world come and they really change what's possible in the classroom, and that's sometimes it's beautiful and sometimes it's really sad. But for the most part, like, I get to be the architect of this little space in the world, and that space is a backdrop in a kid's life, and that just feels like important work, if that makes sense. And if I were to go into a different job, I think I would miss feeling like I was building space in the way that I do as an educator. So it's like, if I were to do something different, I don't know, I feel like I would just dissolve into this big world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, building space. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. I think we've walked through all the questions I had when we initially started this interview. Is there anything that you want to talk about? We can take a moment to think about it if you want.
Yeah. Edit out the long pause.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. Like, and what, like, just like about Benson?
Yeah, it could be about Benson, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think that, like, Benson has shaped my sense of what's, like, what education is for so dramatically. And I just feel really appreciative about it. Like, it's just sort of, you know, it's not an accident that I think in terms of building in the CTE school, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much about that mindset of just like, what am I building today is such a valuable way to think about things. And I've always felt so appreciative of that mindset around Benson, because not every high school thinks about what they build. You know, they think about school and education as a different sort of project, and I like the concreteness of Benson. I think it's a really don't know, I think it just grounds the world in a really lovely way. So I always feel really appreciative. And it's like, Benson students are so fun. We are, like, we are a weird bunch of people, you know? It's like, we are, I always laugh at, like, you know, people joke about how, like, Benson students are so weird. And I'm like, yes, that's right, we are. And I feel like we all have, like, this, like, we're here for a very specific reason, and a lot of times those reasons differ between student to student, but there's always a reason why folks are here, and that seems to be the magic sauce about Benson, and it creates a community that is just so fun to teach in. Because if I can tap into, like, why someone chose to be here at Benson, then I've got a writer, you know, someone's going to write something beautiful from that space. You just have to figure it out.
And that was my interview with Mr. Huntington. I hope you had fun listening. I know I had fun producing it. See you next time on PRP.
Good morning, KBPS on PRP. This is broadcasting instructor Jacob Patterson at Benson High School with our super-duper awesome junior, Meriwether. Good morning, Meriwether.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I am doing pretty great.
You've skied and snowboarded through a week of slippery, slicey snow and ice, and you have a special treat for us.
Yes. For Valentine's Day, my mom said she would get me, like, white chocolate, because I absolutely love white chocolate. But the kind of chocolate she got was this type of chocolate I've never tried before. It's this brand from Germany. And in Europe, they have different laws for, like, processing food and packaging and all sorts of things. So it tastes quite different to the chocolate that I have in my day-to-day life, because I do love me some chocolate. And I would like to extend an invitation to my good pal Jacob here to try a piece.
So Meriwether, first of all, tell us, can you pronounce the name of this chocolate?
I can try. Schogetten? I think that might be how you pronounce it. Uh-huh. If I'm wrong, then I guess I'm wrong. It's on the, like, sides of it. There's like the ingredients lists in, like, so many different European languages.
Uh-huh.
I think I recognize. I think I recognize a Nordic language in there.
And I'll be honest with you, I have no idea how to pronounce that name, and if I even tried, I'm sure I'd get it wrong. So where did this come? This comes from Germany?
Yes, I looked. I was curious about it, so I looked up the brand, and it is from Germany.
It's not every day you get actual German chocolate from actual Germany. So Meriwether, you've tried this already, right?
Yeah.
How would you describe this taste compared to any other good old-fashioned American Hershey chocolate bar? How would you describe the difference, or how would you describe this?
It tastes less, it tastes sweet, but not like a sugary sweet, more like a, it's kind of hard to describe. It's sort of a, tad bit of a bittersweetness.
Okay.
Except not like bittersweet, but like a strange, unique kind of sweetness that I don't think I've ever really experienced before.
And you've had a couple of bites. What's your consensus? Is it thumbs up, thumbs down? What, do you like it?
At first I didn't really like it, but it's starting to grow on me. I think it has, like, a flavor that I don't really experience in many things here. The chocolate that I usually get is like a one note sort of, like, one flavor chocolate. However, this has, like, different, it's almost has a complexity to it.
Interesting. So you give me a piece here. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try it. I haven't tried this before, and so I have no idea what to expect. Well, you just kind of gave us an idea of what to expect. I don't know, but I'm gonna try it And yep. we're going to do a live taste test here on the air. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Mom always taught me not to talk with my mouth full, but I'm going to do it. That's good.
Yeah, I know.
That's damn good.
It is.
Pardon my French. Maybe I have to edit that. That's that's really good. It's like a mildly sweet. Like, it's not overpoweringly sweet. Mm-hmm. It's just the perfect amount of deliciously sweetness. Mm-hmm. And I think like describing it as like bittersweet, but not bitter. It's just like it leans a little in the direction of.
Yeah. It kind of has a bit of an earthy sort of taste to it. I think that's what it is.
I agree. That's mm-hmm. a perfect description. Mm-hmm. This is good. Any idea what that chocolate bar in your hand right there costs?
I'm not sure. My mom got it for me, so.
Okay, that's right. Mm. Well, Meriwether, that's delicious. Mm-hmm. It's not every day you get to actually do a taste test of actual German chocolate. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to KBPS on PRP. Good morning, KBPS on PRP listeners. There is a big event happening tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, March 12th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at the studios of Portland Radio Project, and you are invited. It's the 10th anniversary open house of Portland Radio Project right here at the PRP studios, 3121 South Moody Avenue in Portland. If you listen to PRP and you want to be a part of PRP, here is your opportunity. Let me tell you what we're looking for. We need live DJs to spin tunes here on PRP. Any genre, show us what you've got. We need some social media mavens to help take PRP to the next level and help us go viral. We need tech lovers to make our FM signal and online stream shine 24/7. And media team members to get out to shows, sporting your PRP t-shirts, and capturing the fun live. Or what about our podcast brainiacs out there? Do you have a podcast? Do you got something to say and the chops to back it up? Or if you just love music and you know of emerging and indie artists from Portland and around the world that we can feature on PRP airwaves, the Portland Radio Project 10th anniversary special public open house event happening tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, March 12th, 1 to 5 p.m. We'll have treats from Lionheart Kombucha and Honey Mamas, and you can also chat with the current PRP team. Learn more about how you can become part of the Portland Radio Project community listening experience happening tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, March 12th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Portland Radio Project Studios, 3121 South Moody Avenue, Portland, Oregon, or you can find more information on the website prp.fm. Hope to see you there.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School. Staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland.
on the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.